I'm Emily Alphen Johnson, VPR Digital Producer. I just wanted to let you know that this episode of Vermont Edition has been edited for clarity and brevity.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. We rely on our cell phones for so much these days. They've become telephone and address books. I mean, how many phone numbers do you actually remember? I'd wager not that many. And if you have a smartphone, it's a camera, a gaming device, a fitness tracker, a GPS, a place to do your online shopping, and Google Answers to arguments you're having with your friends. That's all great, if you can get it. But for many Vermonters, cell phone service is still unreliable, which means they, and I'll include myself in this category, rely on landline service for phone and internet. But as the number of landline users dwindle, it's more expensive and less efficient for utilities to maintain and upgrade landline infrastructure. So what's going to give? In a few minutes, we'll talk with the head of communications and connectivity at the Public Service Department. But first today, we turn to 7 Days staff writer Terry Hallenbeck, who recently wrote a cover story on this very issue that got us majorly interested in the topic. Hi, Terry. Nice to talk with you.
Hi, Jane. Thanks for being interested.
Can you tell us about one of the people you talked to in your reporting?
Sure. So the sort of perfect example of someone who's worried about landline service is this woman in Canaan, which is a beautiful town up in the far northeast corner of Vermont, and there's not a lot of cell service there. There's no cell service for miles. And so she relies on her landline and increasingly finds that the service isn't that good and that the phone connection is clouded. And so she often has to complain to the phone company, and to do that, it goes down to the end of her half-mile driveway and plugs her phone into the box on the side of the attached to the pole and calls the phone company to show them that it's their problem rather than the part that the homeowner is responsible for.
You know, there's an amazing photo that goes along with that, with your article, that you actually have her standing there by the telephone pole,
right,
talking on
the
phone.
No, it's a beautiful picture. I just told her, like, this perfectly sums up the story right here, that she's standing in hip deep weeds on the phone with Fairpoint.
And why? Why is her landline service so buzzy and fuzzy and deteriorating?
Well, Fairpoint wouldn't talk directly about her situation, but generally speaking, copper landlines. Can get water in them, and that corrodes them. And then increasingly, as there's fewer lines along a road, it gets less and less profitable for a company to go and fix that line. So exactly what's wrong with her line, I mean, they told her that day that it was because of water that got in the line. But, she doesn't completely know what the problem is.
You know, Terry, it's easy to find one person who has, something going wrong or is disgruntled, but you bring her up because she's somewhat representative. I mean, she may be extreme example of somebody
Absolutely.
Who's actually plugging into the telephone pole, but, you know, this is not an isolated incident.
Right. Her neighbors have the same problem. And I think what you're finding is other people have a similar problem where it's widely known in Vermont that and not everyone has cell service. So what happens when there's fewer and fewer of us who have landlines? You know, that's an actual question of what's going to happen to that landline.
Well, what strikes me is that for so many years now, since we did get last mile connectivity on landlines, they've been basically reliable. And now it feels like, you know, your reporting really highlights this. There's concern about the future of landlines, which is this legacy technology now, but so essential for some people. So why isn't the status quo something that we're necessarily going to be able to rely on?
Well, because there's fewer people with them, there's less, the phone companies have less money coming in, and there's less money going into this federal fund that funds the rural, you know, that subsidizes rural lines. So there's just less money to go around.
We're going to talk with the director responsible for telecommunications and connectivity in just a minute. But from your reporting, what have you found that the state can do about this to ensure that all Vermonters at least have access to a landline, which is its stated goal?
Right. Well, so because landline service is a regulated entity, Fairpoint and Champlain Valley Waitsfield and all the smaller companies are regulated by the state. They are required to provide service to everyone in their service area who wants it. So they can't just say it's not worth us to go down that road anymore. So we have that. And increasingly there will be pressure from the phone companies to let them off that hook in certain areas. Now they're going to target first the areas where there's plenty of competition and plenty of cell service and that sort of thing. But, you know, the erosion will happen over time that that they'll want to get off that hook because their competitors who were not originally phone providers are not regulated. So if Comcast comes in and they're regulated as a cable TV company, but they offer phone service now. That part is not regulated. They can just serve customers who are the cheap ones to serve in easy areas to get to. They're not beating the bushes to serve the woman in Canaan.
What sparked your interest in this issue? I mentioned I don't have great right. cell phone reception at my house, but don't you live in an area with good reception? What made you?
Well, I'm on a cell phone now in my backyard, so we haven't lost service yet. But while I work from home sometimes, and some of the interviews I was doing, I did from home, and including to Waitsfield Champlain Valley Telecom, and in the middle of the call, the call fails. And, you know, it kind of felt like divine intervention. but I have decent cell service, but we still have a landline because that really is what spurred my interest, is starting to think, do we need a landline still, and could we save money if we got rid of it? And I think, you know, just for me, my conclusion was, well, I wouldn't save that much. I like having a local company provide my phone and internet service. So we're going to keep it for now. But that is what spurred my interest in the story of, like, what is going to happen if everyone decides, if more and more people decide to cut the cord.
Well, it really sparked our interest in talking about that as well, and I appreciate your reporting. We have a link to it on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net. Terry Hallenbeck writes for 7 Days. Thank you very much for talking with us.
Great. Thanks for your interest.
Listeners, do you rely on a landline? Have you cut the cord and gone over to just a cell phone? And landline users, why do you stay? Do you need to stay? Or is it for you kind of like Terry, a backup, something that you like to have, something that just feels like not a necessity, but something that's important to you? You can let us know how you're feeling about landline service and what other telecommunications questions you have. Call 800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. You can also post a note on the Vermont Edition Facebook page.
Hi, my name is Patty McKenna from Stowe. We need a microcell booster to get cell service at our house, but also need to keep our landline so we aren't stranded during power or internet outages.
Hi, this is Allison Teague. I'm calling with a comment on the rural customers reliant on landlines. When the electricity goes out, I can call whomever I need to with my landline. My neighbors, who all went high tech and phones that depend on electricity, cannot. Great plan, holding communication hostage.
You can share your story by calling from a landline or a cell phone, 800-639-2211. And we're joined now by Clay Purvis, Director of the Department of Public Services Telecommunications and Connectivity Division. Clay, it's nice to have you on the program.
Thank you, Jane.
So Terry was sort of setting up this issue and some of the Vermonters that she spoke to for whom landline service is really essential and not always working that well. Do you know how many Vermonters currently rely on landline service?
Well, we do know how many Vermonters have landlines based on numbers that telecom companies report to us. And, you know, Fairpoint territory, it's a little over in total 100,000 landlines in operation today. And that's certainly a decline over the last decade. As far as Vermonters who rely solely on a landline, we don't have those numbers.
Yeah, or rely on maybe a landline at home but can use their cell phone when they're traveling or a cell phone at work. There's sort of a hodgepodge of different scenarios going on.
Correct.
How good is our landline infrastructure?
It's comparable probably to the rest of rural America. There are issues, and I think that Terry's story really highlights where the issues are. Where we see most issues is in the last mile and in the rural areas, where we don't have the kind of competition that would ensure high-quality access to telephone service.
So does landline service need to be upgraded or replaced in order to have basic strength and reliability for people?
Oh, absolutely. And one thing to consider is that a lot of the last mile telephone infrastructure in this country can be 20, 30, 40 years old. So it's at in a stage where it needs to be replaced, and that cost of replacing last mile infrastructure, that is the wires, cables that go to your house, can be quite expensive. A lot of the copper plant that's out there today is made out of paper tubing. It's corroded, and we see the most degradation in the summer. In the summer months, when you have a lot of rain, water can get in the lines and cause, distortion and buzzing and those kinds of things, and outages as well. So it is a problem.
So ideally, would we be moving away from copper?
It depends on who you ask. There is a push nationwide to sunset what they call the plain old telephone system and move to a type of system that would operate over the internet. Voice over IP is what they call it. And nationwide, you see companies, especially in the urban centers, retiring their copper plant and moving to a fiber-based, which is a glass cable, fiber-based system. Verizon Fios is a good example. And AT&T in the urban areas is doing the same thing. It's really the rural states that are stuck with the copper right now.
Why can't we move to VoIP or voice over IP in the rural areas?
Cost. It needs to be funded. And going back to the kind of the beginning of the telephone system, the government identified that you really have to subsidize rural telephone service to make it ubiquitous, to have universal service. There needs to be a public funding mechanism in place. And so for a long time, we've had the Universal Service Fund, which funds a variety of programs. One was the High Cost Program, and the High Cost Program basically subsidized the operations of rural connections. And then you had Lifeline. You still have Lifeline that provides assistance to low-income folks so they can purchase telephone service. But then in 2011, the FCC, that they manage, or the federal government manages the Universal Service Fund, decided that we would move away from funding telephone service and direct those funds towards broadband expansion. So they are funding broadband expansion in rural areas through a program called the Connect America Fund. And Fairpoint accepted Connect America funding, and they received about, they're going to receive about $50 million over the next 5 years to upgrade rural Vermont and bring DSL service.
We're getting a lot of comments, as you might expect, from listeners who have some pretty strong feelings about this, or at least want to share what they're doing in their opinions. Elizabeth in Brookfield says, yeah, I'm keeping my landline. I don't own a smartphone. Why pay big bucks for a phone that only gets one bar at my house and would still require the presence of a regular cell phone or the landline to have a good connection? The good news is that EC Fiber has announced that Brookfield will have fiber installed and available to every household in town sometime in 2018. When that happens, I'll give up my landline, says Elizabeth. Monica in Burlington says the quality of cell phone calls needs to increase substantially before they can replace landlines. I cannot tell you how frustrating I find many cell phone calls. Even when both I and my calling partner have strong cell tower coverage, the quality can be so poor that it's difficult to understand what the other person is saying. And Sue in Brattleboro says, sometimes you want to call a house. This may be the least important reason to keep a landline, but I might be willing to speak to anyone who lives there. I wouldn't want to call 5 different cell phones to ascertain if anyone is home or to talk to someone if they're out of town. And on a similar note, Nicole says, we need our landline for the few times a week our kids, 9 and 12, are home alone. They need a phone and they're too young for their own. And I would add, you know, it's a strange problem of adult kids these days to call your parents and realize you have to call one or the other because they're on cell phones rather than be able to just call and say, hey, I was talking to both of you. It feels like you're, you know, somehow choosing favorites among your parents. Listeners, again, you can share what you're doing. Post a note on the Vermont Edition Facebook page or call 800-639-2211. Marcus is calling in from Wheelock. Hi, Marcus. Go ahead.
Yes, hi, Jane. I live in Wheelock, as you just mentioned, and we both have a landline and service from Verizon. And our landline we use for internet, and like I said, it's pretty horrible. And we also use it for our phone, you know, that's a little better. But we also have a cell service from Verizon, and you know, we have a direct site to the top of Perk Mountain, and we only get maybe 1 or 2 bars for service up there. And Verizon is just charging us a huge amount of money for our family plan. And, you know, the internet service from it is also just, I mean, you can't surf a Google web page on our 4G connection from yeah. where we are.
Marcus, thanks for sharing your experience. It's interesting to hear about how it's going for different Vermonters in different places. Clay, what about that? I mean, are we creating a digital divide in some ways between the haves and the have-nots, both for cell service, but also for what you can do on the internet when you're at home, depending on where you live in Vermont?
Well, the digital divide, Jane, exists, and it's here, and you know, it's alive and well in Vermont. Broadband is quickly becoming a fundamental service. It ranks up there with electricity, with water, and shelter. I mean, people absolutely need this as their lifeline to the world now. Everyone gets their news online. They communicate with their family and friends online. You can't apply for a job with the state of Vermont without submitting an application online. So if you don't have the internet, you're at an extreme disadvantage. And again, going back, it is the rural areas. The cost of providing service to rural areas is really high, and the revenue potential is really low. So if a company doesn't have to serve, is not obligated to serve a rural area, it doesn't make business sense for them to do that. And there's no business case there. Wheelock is a town that is very rural, you know, cell service is going to be a challenge. Vermont's topography is also a challenge for cell providers. We are a heavily forested state, and we are a mountainous state. And those are two physical impediments to bringing cell service. So, you know, we need a lot of towers here. We're seeing small cell come up. So these are smaller antennas that may be mounted to telephone poles or mounted to the sides of buildings that can provide cell service in short distances. Those kinds of services are coming on, but it's still... it's still going to be a challenge. It's still very expensive. What a lot of people in rural Vermont are doing that have a broadband connection is that they're buying products that allow them to have a cell hub inside their home that connects through their broadband connection. But that doesn't help you outside. It doesn't help you on the highway. So,
and doesn't that only help you if your broadband connection through your landline phone is a solid one to begin with?
Exactly. It doesn't require a lot of data to move voice through the internet, but it does need to be reliable, and it needs to you need to have it. So a lot of Vermonters don't have it. So.
We're going to continue this conversation. We're talking about the necessity of landline telephone service for many Vermonters. We're talking about broadband internet, which is also a challenge for some Vermonters. And we'd love to know what's up with your situation, your landline, whether you've cut the cord and why. You can post a note or a question on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net or call 800-639-2211. Today we're talking telecommunications, specifically what happens to landlines when most people have cell phones. Customers are dropping landlines in droves, but for many of us in the more rural parts of Vermont, we need our landlines. It's either the only way to get internet service or phone service because of bad cell reception or both.
Hi, this is Vicki Milton. I live in Underhill Flats. I'm calling from my cell phone today because I do have a signal. Cell service is really not adequately reliable where we live, so we hang on to our landline just to make sure we can make and get calls when we need them.
Thanks, Vicki. Share your perspective. Call 800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. Or post a note on the Vermont Edition Facebook page. Nancy says that in her house, we still have one but don't want one. She's talking about a landline phone. She says local phone company ties internet to the landline. We don't even answer it most of the time because it's all telemarketing calls, even though we are on the do not call list. Kathy in Callis says, I felt a need to comment today for the first time ever when I heard the very scary thought of possibly losing our landlines. Our landline phones are my connection to an elderly father, far-flung children, and all other contacts, friends, work, local businesses on whom we depend for services, etc. I can't think of anything that would isolate me more and cause more anxiety in my home life than losing our landlines, except for perhaps deciding we wouldn't have roads in town anymore. And let's go to John, who's calling in from Colchester. Hi, John. Go right ahead.
Yes. I'd like to point out the importance of having a landline because it does provide a basic means of communications. We have some protection that is afforded us, and it is considered a common carrier to have phone service, and there are laws that protect how that is provided. That same sort of regulation is something that should be applied to broadband service, especially for the broadband that is provided by Comcast and other cable providers. And this is what comes up with net neutrality. I'd really urge people to call their representatives about net neutrality, support net neutrality, and help keep that aspect, broadband, affordable, because inevitably broadband is going to be the way that we get our telephone service in the future. It does not actually have to be provided by the provider of your service. I, for instance, have a voice over IP connection that is provided me by a separate box that's just connected to my internet service, and that's through UMA. And that works out very well for me. I do not want to give up my phones in my house, and I really think that that's a very important thing.
John,
so,
thanks. I'm gonna stop you there. I appreciate hearing about your thoughts, and especially your thinking on net neutrality and voice over IP, and how all of this works together, and how we're likely to get our services in the future. And I would encourage you and other listeners to check out the show that we did recently on net neutrality. We did a little bit of a debate on net neutrality, and it was really fascinating. And you can find it on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net. Cameron sent us an email saying, I'm using my cell phone right now, but there's no service inside the house, and our cell phone booster that uses the internet barely works. I'm also from Brookfield. As you said, they promised to give us internet next year, but I also remember in elementary school 8 years ago, them promising the same thing. I hope it comes through. Clay Purvis, thanks for hanging through all of these listener comments. You're the director of the Department of Public Services Telecommunications and Connectivity Division, and you must hear things like this a lot. You know, I have been hosting this show for 10 years. We have talked about broadband internet, high-speed internet, last-mile service for cell phones and for high-speed internet for at least that long. So what gives? You know, we hear from Cameron saying, yeah, I heard this in elementary school and we still don't have it.
Yeah, I got to say, I love the comments from Brookfield as a Brookfield resident myself.
Oh, really?
Who has two bars. I can relate. One comment that I want to go back to is the comment about losing your landline. I just want to make clear to everyone that there's no imminent threat of losing your landline service today. This is something that will happen, that you won't lose it, but the transition is something that will happen over time. And folks at the federal level and at the state level, it's something that's on their minds and, you know, we're thinking about how to maintain service over a very long period of time. So there's no imminent threat of losing anything today. But there have been in the last, you know, decade, there's been a lot of investment. There's been a lot of talk about, you know, bridging the digital divide and bringing everyone internet. We had the stimulus funding that came between, you know, 2008 and 2013. A lot of that funding was invested into middle mile and didn't actually connect individual people that had no broadband before. The idea was that we would push out fiber, middle mile fiber, and then providers could come in and kind of finish the last mile. And so we haven't seen that that develop yet, and it might develop. Vermont had several projects. Sovereignet built a fiber network that actually connected schools. And the Vermont Telecommunications Authority built a lot of fiber, a lot of which is used by EC Fiber today. So they are actually building out the last mile using that fiber.
And they're the provider building it out in Brookfield.
And I think they're doing Brookfield next year. They just announced that they built out Pittsfield. So every location in Pittsfield now has service from EC Fiber. Also has most of the town has service from Fairpoint Consolidated Communications. So it's a very rural town now where there's competition and there's choice. And so that's good for consumers.
We've mentioned Fairpoint a few times in the show, and it's worth saying Fairpoint was sold to Consolidated Communications. And one of the requirements of the sale was that states throughout New England, where Fairpoint operates, had to create a memorandum of understanding with the new company in order to basically okay that sale, because you want to make sure that this is still a good deal for Vermont. Can you talk a little bit about what Vermont's agreement with Consolidated Communications is, which will now be what Fairpoint was?
Sure. So Consolidated brought its petition. They wanted to purchase Fairpoint. And they're purchasing the entire company. So Fairpoint operates in a handful of, I want to say 27 states, but several states. But in New England is the only, New England's their largest property, and it's the only what they call regional Bell operating company. So that's a mouthful, but that's basically the old Ma Bell. So it's a very important network because everybody relies on it. Whether you're a competitor or you're an independent phone company or, you know, Fairpoint, everybody uses that network.
So even if you're relying on EC Fiber or Champlain-Waitsfield Telecom or any of the other telecoms around the state, you're relying on the network that is owned and operated by Fairpoint, soon to be Consolidated Communications?
Correct. They are they're the public switch telephone network for New England. So we had an investigation. Essentially, we looked at the proposed sale, and after our hearing, we did enter into a memorandum of understanding. And in that memorandum, the company agreed to reinvest 14% of its total revenue back into the network, into the Vermont network. So that includes
14% of its total Vermont revenue?
Correct. Yeah, I want to make that clear. Vermont revenue back into the Vermont network. That includes regulated and unregulated services. In addition to that, they'll invest $1 million per year in these kind of last mile service quality issues that we're seeing.
So what will that do for us? We don't know what 14% of their Vermont revenue will be, and it sounds like some of that is difficult to even calculate because of, you know, privacy considerations that they want to be able to keep quiet. But 14% of their revenue plus $1 million a year back into the system to upgrade and maintain. Do you have a sense of what that's actually going to get us?
Sure. The 14% is an amount that you know, the company agrees that it probably should be investing in, and that our experts determined it was a good amount for the company to reinvest. So this is a 3-year commitment, 14% over the next 3 years. At the very least, it's going to maintain the status quo. We're hopeful that there's going to be some incremental improvement. With the $1 million, again, incremental improvement, it will by no means solve the problem. This is a problem that's going to take time, but the company is showing a commitment to addressing it.
We got a note from Bob in Rutland who says, back in May when we had power outages during storms, I was a big hit here in my housing complex because I was the only one with a landline. And Cornelia from Chelsea says, it feels very expensive just to have cell phones, not smartphones, and internet. Sometimes I feel punished for living in rural Vermont. And let's go to Miles, who's calling in from Worcester. Hi, Miles. Go right ahead.
Hi, Jane. I read the Hollenbeck story about on 7 days, and the one thing that I would say that I can relate to is being both frustrated with land service and cell service. And you know, that the woman who they the story was based around lived dozens of miles from the Capitol. I live a dozen miles from the Capitol and am frustrated by both no cell phone service and no consistent landline service. My landline does work, but for internet service, it's pretty difficult to deal with. And I guess one thing I would say is I don't really want to make neighbors too upset by requesting a cell tower somewhere in the near future, but I am also getting a little sick of looking at abandoned telephone poles or telephone poles that serve no purpose at all anymore. Not the ones that do actually provide service, but the ones that are sitting next to them with doing nothing at all. Thank you.
So for you, Miles, you'd like to see better cell phone reception and then you'd get rid of your landline?
I'd like to see cell phone reception, period. And then I would probably get rid of my landline, but still probably maintain something in terms of internet connection. You know, I work in an environment that requires more and more connectivity, and that is becoming pretty difficult when slow speeds and disconnection happen on a regular basis.
Miles, I hear you. Thanks very much for sharing your thoughts with us. So, Clay, you know, here's Miles saying, all right, tear down the old telephone poles. Yeah, I know nobody likes cell towers, but maybe that's the future. What do you think the future looks like? You said don't worry right away. Your landline's not going away tomorrow, at least not without a replacement. But what is the landscape for rural Vermont, you know, 10, 20, 30 years down the line?
Well, there are a lot of different ways that could go. One of the discussions that I think is happening nationwide is are we going to have fiber to the premises inside urban areas and suburban areas, and then wireless outside in the rural areas? How it's done is not as important as the quality of the service once it's deployed. People have to be able to use it. If we're going to go the wireless route, it's got to be reliable. It's got to be useful all the time. And it can't be blocked by foliage in the summer, and you know what I mean? So it's about the outcome. What are we going to get from this? And it's going to have to come from the, you know, it's going to have to be a federal and state cooperation on this matter, because it's not something that just the state can handle alone. So, and it's a nationwide problem.
Well, we will have you on in another 10 years and talk about this again. Last mile connectivity. Clay Purvis is director of the Department of Public Services Telecommunications and Connectivity Division. Thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you.